Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2, installation hints and tips. Today's presenters are Max Terpolilli and Rima Kakoka. Max joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway Level 2 team about 6 years ago. He works closely with customers and development to drive products to succeed in the marketplace. Rima is a staff software engineer in the India Software Lab. She has more than 4 years of work experience with Java and J2EE. She is currently working as a Level 3 support engineer for WebSphere Partner Gateway, a middleware product of the WebSphere brand. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Max.
Thank you, Joseph, and hello to our audience. The purpose of this presentation is to help the new WebSphere Partner Gateway user to serve as a reference to plan for the product 6.0 version installation, prepare the prerequisites, choose the appropriate deployment mode, select among different installation options, and troubleshoot known problems that may originate when installing the product. So let's get started and go to slide number 2. The agenda shows how this presentation is structured. We will start with the prerequisites necessary to install WPG 6.0. Then we'll continue with the next logical step, which is to choose which mode to use. And once we have that, we'll start preparing the grounds with the pre-installation tasks. And finally, get to the actual install of the product using one of the available options. Once the installation is completed, it's good to point out the difference in the port values that, if not handled correctly, can create problems with the transaction flow. On the left side of the slide, I reported the troubleshooting tips aimed at helping the user before and after the installation or the uninstallation, for that matter. The second part is then a collection of the troubleshooting tips. So let's move on to slide number 3. Here is a summary of the prerequisites necessary to install WPG 6.0. For users familiar with the versions 600 and older, the good news is that we now have one software prereq less, which is the WebSphere MQ, which is not needed anymore for internal communication. Optionally, though, WebSphere MQ can still be used for GMS integration. There is no embedded WAS anymore. WPG is now installed as an app server on a full-blown WAS platform. And depending on the chosen mode, we can use either WAS base if WPG is installed in simple mode, or ND when WPG is installed in one of the distributed modes. The link at the very bottom of the slide takes you to the product system requirements web page, where all the specifics about the hardware and software requirements are listed. Let's go to slide number 4. So one of the new features of version 6.0 is the possibility to install this product in different modes, which provides the necessary flexibility to meet the different user needs. Having the product in a single server, which might meet the need for a development or a test environment. In this case, the choice would fall on a simple mode installation, for example. When the need is for production or QA systems, where the load balancing and the high availability also play an important role, then the choice could be either a simple distributed or, for maximum flexibility, full distributed. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 5. So this and the next two charts go in more details on the various modes, because as I mentioned earlier, this is one of the mandatory decisions that the user needs to make before starting the migration, or the installation, sorry, in this case. In this slide, we have the simple mode where all WPG components, receiver, document manager, and console are installed in a single WASP-based server. In this case, no network deployment cell topology, and as a consequence, no clustering, workload management, or high availability is available. As a comparison to the previous WBIC and WPG versions installed in a single server, WPG 6.0 simple mode only has one server, which means only one JVM compared to the three JVMs in 6.0 and 6.2. In simple mode, no message app server is needed because the messaging between components in this case is handled by the single app server that runs on the WPG application. The database and the common file system can be either in the same or different machine. So let's move on to slide 6. With simple distributed mode, the WPG hub application components can be installed in different machines within a WAS network deployment cell. In the distributed setup, WAS ND is required because the ND cell provides scalability as well as high availability features. The ND cell includes the deployment manager, which manages all the nodes in the ND cell. The WPG applications are installed in an app server, which becomes a member of a cluster created for each app server within the ND cell. At any time the need arises, additional members can be added in the cluster, and to create a new cluster member on a separate machine, you have to install the same WPG app server on that machine, and the new member will be added to the existing cluster. A messaging app server is needed in this case to handle the messaging between the WPG components, which was handled by MQ in the previous releases. The releases 6.0 and older. Similar to WPG app servers, a cluster is also created for the messaging server. And in this case as well, additional members can be added if and or when needed. Depending on the configuration chosen, simple distributed mode can provide the high performance and the scalability features typical of the distributed mode installations. In this slide, there is a sample of three configurations to give you an idea of the possible combinations. You can have the three WPG applications installed in the same app server with the MAS, and then provide workload management and high availability installed the same configuration on a different machine. So let's move on to slide number 7. When full distributed mode is used, the WPG applications are each defined in their own WAS app server, and they can be on the same node or different nodes. Since this is the most flexible mode, the WPG applications can also be selectively included in the same app server, as shown in the variation picture on the bottom right side of the slide. Each app server is in its own cluster, and again, as mentioned earlier, new cluster members can be added if needed to provide scalability and high availability. A couple of more considerations as a final note for the distributed environment. One is each of the observers is a member of the WPG CBUS, which is called the BCG bus. And the other consideration is that when a mass cluster contains more than one ME server, only one message engine will be active at one time. All WPG components will communicate with the active ME. If the active message engine goes down, then the other ME takes over. Okay, I think we can go on to the next slide, slide number 8. There are some preparation tasks that we need to address before installing the product. It is a good practice perhaps to review and use the pre-installation checklists that are included in the installation guide, which can help keep track of the various tasks, such as create the user accounts and make them members of the product user group, which, by the way, they're different from the previous releases 600 and older, I mean. Install and configure one of the supported versions of the DB2 or Oracle. Install WAR 6.1 base or ND depending on the chosen mode. And after installing the GA version, of course, you will need to install a supported six pack as recommended in the product system requirement link. Very important, you need to disable any WAS security before starting the installation. So if you have any administrative or application security, any kind of WAS security, disable it before starting the installation. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 9. Okay, now that we're ready to start installing the product, we can choose the method we like best among the three available options. There is a graphical interface option, there is a command line option, and the silent mode option. In the next slides, we will take a closer look at which one of them. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 10. Okay, the GUI interface is probably the most used, especially on Windows systems. In Unix, of course, you will need an X-Window server and export the display environment variable to be able to start the launchpad. And a final node concerns the login user, which needs to be root for Unix or a user belonging to the administrators group for Windows. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 11. So once the launchpad panel is up, you can start making your selections, which depends on the mode you chose, as we saw earlier in the previous slides. For simple mode, you will be installing the application database first and then the simple mode hub. For simple distributed mode, the installation sequence will start again with the application database. Then you will need to install the mass database as well. And after that, before installing the hub, you have to install the deployment manager. And finally, the simple mode hub. Then, of course, depending on what you chose, this last operation, the simple distributed hub installation can be repeated for multiple nodes that will, like we discussed in the previous slide, will give you the load balancing of the product as well as the high availability. Okay, the last part, the full distributed mode, it will basically, you will be installing again the application database, the mass database, and the deployment manager. These are the same as you did in the simple distributed mode. And the hub installation, however, is different here because it allows the user to pick and choose which component to install in a given node. So you basically have the maximum freedom of the options, the components you want to install in a single machine. You can install one or you can install two of them. You can install all three of them and so on. Okay, I think this is all for this slide. Let's move on to slide number 12. If we chose to install in a command line or a silent mode, then before we proceed, we have to refer to two APERs, which address issues with the ISS files. And that is the APERs that are mentioned in the slide, APER JR35584. This one reships the uninstall ISS files for the deployment manager and the hub components because the GA files are corrupted. And then we have APER JR32255, which reships the installation ISS files because the GA ones lead to an incomplete installation. As you can see in the slide, for each APER, I reference the TechNode links that will take you to the specifics. Okay, let's move on to slide number 13. Now, let's take a closer look at command line option. What this does is to allow the user to customize the response files before running the setup. Once you're done with the customization, then the setup for the specific OS platform can be invoked from the command line prompt, and the user will be prompt the screen like the regular graphical interface, with the input fields pre-filled with your custom values. So that is a good thing for you to visualize what you actually entered in the ISS files. And it is also good for after the installation because you have a record of what you entered for that specific installation. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 14. The silent mode preparation is very similar to the command line method. That is, the user has to customize the response file and then invoke the setup from the command prompt. Just like what we saw before for the command line, however, there is a very important difference in this case, and consists in the silent option specified at the end. If you see the command, basically the difference is that you specify silent, and when that option is specified, the installation starts right away under the cover without prompting anything to the user, and when completed, the returns control to the command prompt. So, recommendation is, before you hit enter here, please make sure that the response files are correctly completed. Let's go to the next slide, slide number 15. The next four slides are just samples response files I added to this presentation, which the user can reference as an example of customization. In this chart, we can see the sample response file I customized to create the application database. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 16. And here you have an example response file customization for the MAST database. Let's go on to the next slide, slide number 17. In this slide, we have the customization for the deployment manager response file. Last example of ISS customization, the response file customization, is in the next slide, slide number 18. And here we have a sample customization response file for the hub installation. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 19. Very important to notice, especially for users coming from previous versions, the 600 and older, is the port change, which in 6.2 varies depending on the mode the product is installed on. This is especially important for the receiver in simple or simple distributed mode because the default port is changed from 57080 to 58080, which is the same port used by the console, by the way. So if you had a partner that used to send you files to your receiver on port 57080, then you have to notify them of the port change. Or if you're using a load balancer configuration, then you have to change the configuration to point now to the new port. Okay, and with this slide, I now turn the presentation to my co-presenter, Rima Krakotkar, who will be focusing on the troubleshooting aspect of the WPG 620 installation. Thank you. Rima?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Joseph, can we move on to the next slide? So, hello, everyone. I would be walking you through the troubleshooting section of this session. These tips would help the user resolve some of the installation or the uninstallation problems which are seen during WPG 6.2. So these known problems have been divided into three main sections. First are the known installation issues. These are the issues one sees when one is installing with their partner gateway. Secondly, we have known post-installation issues. Now, due to an incorrect installation or maybe some installation errors that have happened, a user may see problems once they start using WPG, as in maybe once they start the servers or once they start doing document flows. That's when they may see that WPG is not working as needed. So these they may be actually installation problems. So this would come under known post-installation issues. Also, uninstallation issues, these would be the issues one sees when one is uninstalling a WPG. So can we move to the next slide, slide number 21. So, sure, now we will be moving on to our first section, that is known installation issues. So, in the next few slides, we will be covering these various issues that one sees during installation. I will discuss each of these issues in detail now. Moving on to slide number 22. So, currently, WPG 6.2 base silent installation does not work. The installation results in a partially installed product. So to resolve this particular problem, we already have an APAR in place, namely APAR JR32255. You would need to contact WPG support to get the fix for this particular APAR. Now this fix would basically include new ISS files using which the customer would be able to resolve the silent installation problem. The details are also provided in the tech note available on this slide. Moving to slide number 23. WPG, we have basically started supporting operating system AIX 6.1 from 6.2 Fixed Pack 2 onwards. However, there is a problem, that is the WPG 6.2 GA or the base installer does not launch at all on AIX version 6.1, TL 2, 3 and higher versions. So the root cause of this problem is that the SED file that is provided with these versions, these higher versions of AIX, that file is not compatible with the WPG ISMP installer. An older version of this SED file can be used to resolve this particular problem. Now, on AIX 5.3 TL10 and below, and on AIX 6.1 TL1, a person may not see this particular problem. So you could use the SCD file available on this version of AIX to resolve this problem. If you do not have access to this version of AIX, then we have a tech note available on this particular slide. So if you go to this particular tech note, you will see that there is an SCD file which is available on this slide on that particular tech note. So detailed steps have been provided in the tech note detailing where and how this SCD file needs to be updated. Moving on to slide number 24. After starting the WPG launchpad to install WPG DB loader or hub or DMGR, we may see errors of the kind that are listed in this particular slide. These messages do not cause any side effects. They are harmless. And the servers, the WPG servers can be started successfully and the documents can be routed. These messages can safely be ignored. Moving on to slide number 25. While providing the file system path in the installer panel, the presence of a character N next to the path separator is interpreted as a new line character on Windows platform by the installation tool that we use, which is called ISMP. This is just a display issue on Windows platform. This will not hamper your WPG installation at all. So if the character N does not occur next to the path separator, then the path will not appear in multiple lines. So this is totally a display issue, and a customer can proceed with installation with absolutely no problems. Moving on to slide number 26. So this particular issue is seen when you're installing WPG on the Oracle database. On supplying incorrect user credentials more than 3 times for Oracle during WPG installation could cause the Oracle user account to lock. And now this problem can be resolved by unlocking the Oracle user account before proceeding further with WPG installation. The commands to unlock that particular user have been displayed on the slide. So you can log in as the Oracle Sys user and then run the alter user command, which is given here in the slide, to unlock that particular user account. After doing this, the user can resume with WPG installation. The access to the database herein is needed to update some specific values during WPG Hub installation. In case the account is locked, then the installation will not be totally successful. So this step, in case the user account is locked, it is necessary to follow these steps before you resume with installation. Moving on to slide number 27. We have completed with the list of issues we see when we install WPG. In the next few slides now, I will be discussing the various issues we encounter after installing WPG. These may be due to incorrect installation. So listed in this slide are the various issues that I'll be talking about in detail. Moving on to slide number 28. Yes, so Oracle 9i Release 2 is one of the supported databases for WPG 6.2, even though it's pretty old. So if you're using this particular version of Oracle, you have to download and use the Oracle 10G version of the JDBC driver. So if the older version of, the JDBC driver of Oracle 9i does not work at all with the WAS NE. So this is because of incompatibility issues that they're seeing with the WAS ME, or rather messaging engine, when installing WPG 6.2 on Oracle 9i. This problem is seen only in distributed mode, fully or simple distributed mode. Due to this particular error, the WPG servers will not be able to connect to the MAS and will throw errors like BCG bus not found. So to resolve an error of this kind when you're using Oracle 9i, you need to go to the Oracle site and download the latest JDBC driver. The Oracle 10G JDBC driver. Moving to slide number 29. On installing WPG on DB2 9.5 base, everything will work. The installation will complete successfully and you will be able to start the server successfully. All enterprise applications will also be started successfully, but we still have an issue wherein the console will not be coming up. If you try to access the WPG console, which is installed on EB2 9.5 base, it will not come up. If you see the debug, you will find errors. You'll be able to see errors when WPG is trying to access the logos from the database. So basically, DB2 9.5 base is not supported on WPG 6.2. DB2 9.5 FP2 is the minimum supported level for WPG 6.2. Moving on to slide number 30. Only users who intend to have WebSphere Partner Gateway 6.2 GA installed on Oracle 11.1.0.7 are affected by this particular error. Now, WPG 6.2 GA is supported on 11.1.06. Any customer who wants to install WPG on Oracle 11.1.07 will see errors on installing 6.2 base on this particular version of Oracle. Error of the kind which is displayed on the slide will be seen, that is ORA-22296. These errors will be seen in the build.log file. So to resolve this particular problem, just ignore the above error and immediately apply WPG 6.2 Fixpack 1 or above. So as of now, we have WPG Fixpack 1 and Fixpack 2 for WPG 6.2. So any of those six packs can be installed on 6.2 base for Oracle 11.1.07 to resolve this particular problem. WPG 6.2 will not work on Oracle 11.1.0.7. Moving on to slide number 31. In this particular problem, the WPG hub installation may complete successfully, but one might see that in the WAS admin console, there are no servers or no clusters created at all. One of the reasons for this may be that the WAS profile has not been created at all. Now, this profile would not have been created because a profile with the same name possibly exists. You can check this error, to see if the profile has been created successfully or not. You can go to BCG Hub Installation Location, Logs, Create Profile.log. I'll be discussing more in detail about all these log files later in my presentation. So a way to resolve this particular error is you have to uninstall the WPG hub first, delete any WPG directories that are left behind after uninstallation. In a command prompt, you have to go to WAS install location and then type this particular command. This will list all the profiles. So if you see the profiles with the same name that you were trying to install WPG on existing, go ahead and delete it using the next command which is present on the slide. And then you can continue with WPG installation. Moving on to slide number 32. So this is another instance of WPG hub installation completing successfully. But in the WAS admin console, again, there are no servers or no clusters seen. Now, this particular problem, which I've been talking about now, will only be seen when you're reusing the deployment manager. For example, say that you had an installation on, you installed the hub, say in simple distributed mode, fully distributed mode on the DMGR, and due to some installation problems, you uninstall this particular setup and try installing again. Then you may possibly see this particular error. You will see this error, if you go to this add node.log, which will be available under hub install location logs, and if you see an error of this kind as an invalid key store format, this could be possibly an error. Because of this particular problem, the node would not have been added to the profile, and hence the WPG installation will not be successful. So steps to resolve this particular problem are given in this particular slide. So you need to stop the deployment. Firstly, you will have to uninstall the WPG hub installation that you have, which is not a proper installation. You'll have to uninstall that. Then you stop the deployment manager and rename the key store and the trust store files located in that particular location to something else. And then you can start the deployment manager and proceed with the hub installation. Another way to resolve this particular problem is to just reinstall the DMGR. Moving on to slide number 33. Okay, so this particular problem will be seen when a customer is trying to install multiple members in one cluster. So say when installing on the second, you've installed WPG successfully on one node, and now you're trying to install the second node. But after the installation completes, even though a message is displayed saying installation is successful, you see that the members of this second node have not been added at all to the cluster. Now, one possible reason why this can happen is because the timestamp on both these machines are not the same. It is mandatory that the timestamp difference between machine 1 and machine 2, as in where you're installing node 1 and node 2, the time difference between these two machines is less than 5 minutes. If this is not so, then the installation will not go on properly. So, moving on to the next slide, slide number 34. Installing WPG on an existing WAS server cell causes the keystone and the cluster for the existing servers or applications in that cell to be reset to use WPG keystone and trustors, that is bcgsecurity.jks and bcgsecurity_trust.jks. Now, what will happen after installation of WPG on an existing cell is all available non-WPG applications will be pointed to this particular keystone and trustor, that is a WPG keystone and trustor. So basically, after installing, a customer may lose all his previous security configurations. So it is very important to note for all those who are installing on an existing cell that this particular tech note which is given in this particular slide is followed to resolve this particular problem. All the steps that are given in this tech note are to be performed before installing WPG. Also, please note that after this problem, if the non-WPG applications do not have access to the common file system, then those servers may not start at all. So this is a very important problem, and anybody installing WPG on an existing cell has to keep in mind this particular problem and go through this tech note to resolve or to find a way to resolve this particular problem. Moving on to slide number 35. We have a feature called smart migration. What smart migration would basically do is if there are any older versions of WPG existing in your setup, you do not have to do manual migration. You can just launch WPG installer and it will detect the older version of WPG from your registry and it will do the migration by itself. So none of the steps have to be done manually by any user. Now, if no migrate existing instance option is shown, even though an older version of WPG is present, this would mean that the registry is corrupted. In such a case, please contact WPG support because then you need to go to the registry and find out why such a case is happening. Also, WPG, as Max said before, has to be installed on some minimum level of a WASND. So if you're attempting smart migration immediately after a WAS fix pack upgrade, allow some time for the servers or services restart before initiating the WPG migration. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 36. If you're unable to create an SFTP gateway or a receiver, for some reason, you would first need to check if the SFTP resource adapter has been deployed successfully. Now, this SFTP resource adapter is deployed during a WPG installation, hub installation rather. So, to find out if this resource adapter has been deployed successfully, you will need to go to this particular path in the WAS admin console that has been given in the slide. So, you will need to go to resources, resource adapters, and check if this particular resource adapter is available. Now, if for some reason you see that this resource adapter is not deployed or is not available in a location that has been given in the slide, you can check for why this deployment has failed in this particular log which has been provided in the slide. This log will give you more details on why the deployment of the resource adapter failed. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 37. After installing WPG, when you try to start the WPG servers, preferably we advise that you go and check and see if all the applications have been started successfully. So if checking these applications, we see that these three applications, that is Receiver, Doc Manager, and BPA applications are not started. Now, a very common reason why this happens is because this particular variable called Shared Data Directory, which is given in the slide, has not been replaced. So you can go to the WPG console under this particular location mentioned in the slide and check if this variable has been replaced or not. If this variable has not been replaced, this could possibly be because the hub installer could not connect to the WPG application database. Hence, it was not able to update the application database with the correct value for this particular variable. To resolve this issue, we would need to replace all occurrences of the shared data directory variable in the WPG console system administration with the CFS, or rather the common file system location. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 38. So this is the last part of the troubleshooting section, that is the known uninstallation issues. As of now, we are just aware of one particular uninstallation issue that we have, and that is the 62J silent uninstallation does not work. So moving on to slide number 39. The 62J silent uninstallation will not work for the deployment manager and the hub components of all modes, that is simple distributed and fully distributed. These files are shipped with the WPG 62J image, and these files are corrupted, and they will not work if used with silent or command line uninstall. You can check this particular techno to find more details regarding this issue. Also, please contact WPG support to get the fix or the correct files for this, the uninstallation ISS files. Now moving on to slide number 40. Okay, so herein, I will be telling you all how we can use the possible documentation that we have to view if there are any failures or to troubleshoot using the logs, the installer logs. So at any point, various logs are used by WPG to keep a track of the installation process. Using these logs, the user can know if there are any installation errors as such. So firstly, for DB loader logs, or rather WPG application database or BCG apps, you can go to temp directory BCG DB loader apps logs. In this particular folder, you can refer to build.log, meta.log, or createschema.log. Any of these three logs will have details regarding any failures that have happened during DB installation. For DB2, you can use a text command walls to search for any error during a DB2 installation. So if you use this particular text, that is command space walls, or you'll be able to find out if there are any errors during the WPG DB loader installation on DB2. To search for any errors in Oracle, you can search for capital ORA hyphen. So this text will help you search for any particular errors that have occurred during the DB loader installation. Similarly, for mass errors, you can check for the log files under temp directory BCG DB loader mass logs. Now for hub installation, a primary file that we maintain during a hub installation is bcghubinstall.log. This log file is available under temp directory bcghublogs. This file will give you an overview if the installation has completed successfully or not. Now after the installation, in this log file, search for any null pointer errors. If there are any null pointer errors whatsoever in this file, that means that at some point your installation has not gone fine and that there should be some failure during your installation. Even though the GUI might display saying installation successful, if your bcghubinstall.log shows you an error saying null pointer exception, that means that there has been some problem during your installation. So if there are any null pointers in these log files, you can go to the hub install location, that is BCG hub install location logs. In this particular folder, you will see various logs that have been generated during WPG installation. Now, I'll be referring to three main files in this particular folder. Firstly, createProfile.log. To verify if the profile has been installed successfully installed or not, you can check this particular log file. This will give you a proper text telling whether the profile was added successfully or not. then is add node.stdout.log. So to verify if the node has been added to the profile, please refer to this log. And lastly, to check if the node agent has started successfully, after the installation, you can verify node agent_start.stdout.log. Okay, so that brings me to the end of my presentation. Moving on to slide number 41. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Works offers in-depth technical information. Then we have the events link next on support pages, and it points you to webcast and conference information. You can also visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. Then the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And last but not the least, the My Notification links on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So that concludes my presentation for today. Now I would like to turn the presentation back to Joseph. Over to you, Joseph.
Thank you, Max and Rima, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.